Because we have a spirit of gratitude just because of who you are and what you have done in our lives. Now, use me this morning, Father, to encourage someone, to uplift someone, and to share the good news of good sound doctrine of your word. I am nothing without you. We are nothing without you. So we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We love you, we love you, we love you. For it's in your precious Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
As you can see why I was so solemn during announcements, Pastor Arnice wasn't down here. And I had to do it. So, I had to preserve some of my energy today. So, I won't be before you long. As a matter of fact, Jesus wept. Amen.
Let's go.
Ain't nobody moving, so I guess I gotta give a little bit more. I was ready. I told you I ain't gonna be before y'all, Mom. But since we are here, let's go to, we have quite a few scriptures to cover, but there is one particular scripture that covers a multitude of all of my scriptures. I won't be having you go flipping back and forth, but anytime you bring your Bible, you always bring a pen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So write them down and make sure you go back and research them. It's crucial to our daily living. So we're going to go to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. God bless you. This is a familiar scripture with everyone, I know, because it is part of our salvation scripture. And it reads, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And today, I would like to focus on the gift.
Amen?
Amen. The gift. So let's define gift. Now, you do know that gift can be a noun, a verb, and an adjective. But I'm going to talk about the noun of the gift. Defined as a notable capacity, talent, or endowment. Something voluntarily transferred by one person to another without compensation, as to show favor towards someone. A present. That is the definition of gift. Now, we have a gift, and I'm going to briefly touch on our gift. We have a gift. Christ Jesus has a gift. And then there are your gifts that you operate in. Okay? So let's talk about our gifts. And when I'm speaking about our gifts, I'm using the gift twofold. I will be using it as an acronym. So I'm going to break down the G, the I, the F, the T. In gift. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, when we look at our gift, mankind, the G in gift stands for us being guilty. We guilty. Guilty is sin. How do we know that? Because in Romans 3 and 23 says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're all guilty. That's our gift. The G in our gift is we're guilty. We're guilty of our sins. Whatever they are, we know what they are. I cut you off on the freeway. I gave you the finger after you cut me off. I talked about you behind your back, and I smiled in your face.
Amen.
I saw you struggling and going through something, and I did not encourage you. Yeah. I'm supposed to be a Christian, and I'm supposed to fervently pray for you, but all I can do is talk about what you had on today. Yeah. We're all guilty.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're all guilty. That's the G in our gift. We're guilty. The I in our gift is our iniquity. Now, in researching iniquity, I found out that iniquity only appears in the Old Testament. Iniquity is not found in the New Testament. And probably because iniquity is defined as a premeditated choice, continually without repentance. Isn't that what the Israelites did? Over and over and over and over again. They didn't want to see God because they didn't want to answer to God. So they said, give me a king. Somebody that's going to stand up for me because I don't want to go before you. I still got premeditated ideas I want to keep doing. Iniquity in the Old Testament. They already had it planned out. They did not want to see God unless it was to what? Bless them. They didn't want to answer to him. They just wanted to be blessed by him. Doesn't that sound like a lot of people today? They don't want to serve him. They just want to be blessed by him. Our iniquity. Part of our gift. Me. And then there's the F in our gift. The fall. The fall of mankind. Coming short. And in Proverbs 28:14, it says, but he who hardens his heart falls into trouble. Also in Proverbs, it says that what comes before the fall, I think it's the pride, your haughtiness. You think you all that in a bag of chips. And you're not. That's your fault. Because you would rather step on someone to do climb up rather than lift your hand up and bring them up with you. That's our fall. We fall, and I love Donnie McClurkin because he says a saint is nothing but a sinner who fell down and got back up. But see, we get so caught up in our mind in our fall. We get caught up in our fall that we do not feel as though we're worthy enough to get back up. Beloved, you are worthy of getting back up. Confession from your heart will allow you to get back up. Once you fall, don't stay down there. And if you fall because someone is around you that keeps allowing you to fall, that keeps helping you fall, that keeps boasting on your fall, guess what? That is someone that you have to alleviate yourself from because you have work to do. Don't continually tell me about what I did wrong. I know it. I asked the Lord to forgive me. So why I gotta keep hearing it from you? I know I failed. But I asked the Lord to forgive me. I'm trying to correct myself. That's the difference between us falling and us having iniquity. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, the T in our gift is the transgression. Now, I know you said guilt, iniquity, fall, transgression. That's all probably about the same thing. Well, yeah, it does, because if we go to Psalms 32:5, let me make y'all go to that one. 32:5, write that down. It says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Salah. All of these words mean the same thing. Evil and lawlessness. Sin is missing the mark. doing something that is not pleasing to God, whether we say, think, or do, that is not pleasing to God, that is a sin. Transgression, choose to intentionally disobey. In other words, trespass. You're trespassing. And of course, what I said, iniquity. Premeditated choice continually without repentance. That's our transgression. All of these are unpleasing to God. Guess what? When we were born into the world, we were born with that gift. That's our gift.
Amen.
That's what we were born with. Guilt, iniquity, fallen, transgression. Thanks to Adam. That is our gift. That's our gift of life. Wow. My Lord. Help me, Holy Ghost. But glory be to God. The gift of Christ Jesus. Let's talk about that. I'm excited. You know why? Because the gift of Christ Jesus that starts with the first G is grace.
Yes.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Grace. Romans 6:14. And also, let me just share this with you. Whenever you are in Romans and you start with chapter 1 and you go all the way to the end, understand something. Whatever book you're reading, it's not a left to right, top to bottom. It's not that. So, the way that man has put this canon together is not the order that it's in. Okay? It's not the order that it's in. It's the order that applies to your life. So we may be, like we just said, our main scripture was Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. And we talked about the guilt. Romans 3:23, it says we all have fallen. But now the grace part is in Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you.
Amen.
You do not have to be a slave to sin.
Amen.
For you are not under the law, but under what?
Grace.
You're under grace. That's in Romans 6:14. So know that you don't have to be a slave to your own gift anymore. You don't have to. Why? Because of Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Wow. So, in Titus, I'm going to stop right there at grace at that point because I have some more to tie in with that. Grace is always from top to bottom, just so you guys know. Amen? So, the I in Christ gift is integrity.
All right.
So, we go from iniquity in our gift to integrity in the gift of Christ. Integrity, what Titus calls it, is the having the inclination and knowing who you are. You are not just going to be about it. I mean, talk about it. You're going to be about it. You are walking the walk. Titus 1:9 talks about sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is the building up of faith and the protection against corrupt influence. Let's go to Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, and doctrine showing uncorruptness, which is another word for integrity. Gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. that he that is of contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So, if you are upright, as Christ would have you to be, can't nobody say nothing bad about you. As much as they talk about you, as much as they dog you, guess what? You're still showing the love of Christ. What they gonna say? I can't stand her. She's showing the love of Christ. That doesn't even sound right. You got a positive and a negative in the same sentence. English majors, you know you can't have that. That does not, it does not correlate together. Integrity is an eye in Christ's gift that was giving to us. So walk with that. Walk with that. Whatever you do for Christ, you know it will last. It's what we do for each other, for ourselves. That's temporal. But what you do for Christ lasts. Remember that. What you do for Christ lasts. You cannot go around thinking that the same thing I do for Brother Tony, I'm doing for Christ. No, Christ is using me to be able to do for Brother Tony. But if I do it for Christ, it's going to last. Amen. With Brother Tony. Amen. It's not going to be temporal. Amen. It's going to be indefinite. Amen. 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 And then there is the F in God's gift, which is faith. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, amen. Hallelujah. Faith. Faith, faith, faith. Just a little bit of faith. Yes. Now, there's a couple of things regarding faith. Also with grace, there's a tying in connection here with all of God's gift, as you will be able to see. Faith. Romans 5, 1 and 2 talks. Is it 1 and 2? I'm sorry. Yes. Romans 5 talks about dead in Adam, alive in Christ. Okay? And faith, where the faith comes in. Oops. Nope. Sorry. That was a Romans. But we do know that in Hebrews 11 and 6, we do know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen? Amen. Now that we have this faith working on the inside of us through grace, now we know that James 1 and 3, and I'm sorry, that's where I wanted you to go. James 1 and 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That means through your trials and your tribulations, your faith is what develops your perseverance. That means you can keep going, knowing that your faith is in the hope and glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So now your faith is an action word. That means you're moving in it. That means you're working in it. That means when you're being patient over things that you have no patience for, Pastor, you persevere. Things that you never thought you would have patience for. You know a pet peeve of mine? A pet peeve of mine is the kitchen and the bathroom. That's a pet peeve of mine. And sometimes my husband gets a little bit Chef Boyardee-ish. And he be in that kitchen, and he be cooking, and he be a burning, literally. And he be a cooking, and he be a burning. And sometimes, and I say, honey, he calls me up, hey, guess what, I cooked this for you, and you're going to have this when you get home. And I'm like, oh, babe, you know, don't worry about it. Because, see, I know he has been running around all day. And he had Dominique. And he had to get up early. And he went to bed late. So I'm like, oh, no, sweetie, don't worry about it. It's okay. Oh, no, babe, no. I got this. When you come home, it's going be real good. Okay. All right, so I'm all excited. So I get home, I come home, because I had already thought about, okay, what I'm going to eat. I process it in my mind. But since my husband said he got me, I don't even have to worry about it. So I'm on my way home. Get home, open up the door. It's smoke everywhere. I'm like, Lord, no! I go upstairs. Bae, Dominique right there laid out. I gotta touch both of them, make sure they both all right. But before I met my husband, I really didn't have much patience. And I don't have patience for nonsense. But that also filters on patience of other things. And I didn't have much patience, but I had been praying, Lord, bless me to be more patient with others, individuals, their shortcomings. Stop being so judgmental. And be careful for what you ask for, because he gives you those things. So I was able to endure. I didn't get mad. I was like, I told him don't do that, but he wanted to. Okay, I'm going to go on here. Let me go on out here and get a pizza. But I used to get mad. I was like, even though any other time, I was like, what did you do that for? I still don't do that. Now look, we got smoke all in the house. It's black in the ceiling. We got to do this. We got to do that. No patience. But since I have been studying, since I have been abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in me, he has blessed me with patience. Now I say, honey, you know you got some painting to do, right? I'm okay with it. Because I know my husband going to take care of it. That's his mess he going to clean up. But that's my patience the Lord is blessing me with now. I don't get upset about those things anymore. I don't get upset about nothing I can't control. And I cannot control another human being. I cannot do it. We have children. We have grandchildren. But guess what? We still can't control them. Now, we can put the law down on them. We definitely can give them the Board of Education. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Stop doing that. Okay? Stop doing that. Mothers, grandmothers, stop doing that. Them babies still need discipline just like y'all gave it to us. You know, why does that happen? I just got a sidebar right quick. Why does that happen? Y'all be on y'all kids like 90 going north. As soon as that great baby come, y'all forget all about discipline. And that's the grandbaby. No. It's hard for us. We got to go back and retrain that person. We got to go back, beat them down and everything. Then they get defiant. That's more work. More work. We need consistency. The same thing. What did y'all used to tell us? It ain't going to kill you. What don't kill you make you better. We think that we feel the same way about our children as you did about us. So, grandparents, please stop. Get them grandbabies some discipline. Some sit down somewhere. So, James talk about how your faith develops your perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. That's your maturity. That's my maturity. When I was able to go into a house with a room full of smoke and be like, okay, let's open the doors, let some of the smoke out. And, well, this is a part of my story now. I couldn't tell it when it happened. He is true. It hasn't happened in a long time because he doesn't cook as much as he used to. But that's another message, y'all. So, and your perseverance and your faith determines the maturity that you have in Christ. We're not lacking for nothing. Okay? Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication, knowing that Christ is going to do, I'm paraphrasing, knowing that Christ is going to do exactly what he said. Once you pray about it, leave it alone. You got to have the faith to know and trust and believe that he's going to do exactly what he said he will do. But guess what? It's not your time. It's not my time. It's his time. His time. I used to say, Lord, why you won't bless me? This was some years ago when I was out there. I'll say, because understand something, when I was out there, I was still in him. I was still in him. So I was still talking to him. But I say, Lord, how come I don't never have no money? Now mind you, I was still tithing, but I was still out there.
Yes.
And he says, well, if I give you what you really want, you won't be able to handle it. I probably would have been out there even more in the street. But because he only gave me a little bit to be out there in the street.
Yeah.
So, the rest of it, I was able to bring back in the church. But the good thing about it is, now that I'm no longer out there, he's given me abundance.
Praise
God. Amen. Amen. He has given me abundance. He hasn't even allowed me to reestablish my credit. Amen. Amen. That is a blessing. Sure, I got credit now. Amen. But I didn't have it because I was not being a steward over what he had me being responsible for. He entrusted the little things in me. I couldn't handle that. And he, guess what? But you know what the good thing about it was? He said, I still love you. Can't have none, but I still love you. Like we do our kids. Nope. But I still love you. Amen. Amen. So that's the who. That's the faith in God's gift to us. Then, now mind you, all of this, as I said before, is intertwining and working together. So then, after that, then there's the transformation. Transformation. Hallelujah. When you, on our gift side, was trespass. On Christ's gift side is transformation. Between trespass and transforming, you have John 1:29, it says, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There is that median, that go-between. When God sent his only beloved Son, he loved the whole world that he sent his only beloved Son. He needed a go-between. There is one side, the law, and there's the other side, the grace. Jesus Christ is the go-between. He is between the law and grace. You cannot transform from your transgressions without Christ Jesus. It doesn't work like that. You cannot. That's just like saying, well, I did this myself. I saved myself. That's probably what a lot of Israelites said. I saved myself. But you cannot. It is not, that wasn't, you don't have that ability. You do not have that ability. You know, one of the things, one of the singers says that, I believe it's Donald Lawrence, and he says that we are not natural beings living in the spiritual. We are spiritual beings living in the natural. And what that means is we all, when God created us, He all created us to be a living spirit. But because of the fall of man, now we're living in the naturals. But guess what? We are in the world, but we do not have to continually be of the world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The world is what it is, and it's going to be that way. As long as you keep sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning and doing everything that you want to do and not being accountable for anything, he gives you a, what they call it, thank you. Say that again. That's right. In Romans 1:24. That's right. He will turn you over to yourself. You are turned over to yourself. Right. A reprobate mind. Come on.
Amen.
Reverend Vanessa. Is the consequences of this behavior left unchecked? Romans 5:18. What Adam did in the world, of the world, his offense, Christ had to come back and make it right. He came back and made it right. Transformation. Another word for transformation is transfiguration. That means to transform. When Christ went to pray, when Jesus Christ went to pray, he took a few of his disciples. And they were able to see him transform from a lowly human being as he was walking into his divine image of who he really was. He went from wearing sackcloth and sandals to being pure white, lining up the sky, having a conversation with Elijah and Moses about what was about to take place, about his last mile that he was about to take for us. They were able to see him transform. Now, Jesus told them not to tell anybody about his transformation. See, it wasn't for everybody to see that, because everybody couldn't comprehend it. Even they was afraid. They was like, Lord, let me build 3 shelters for y'all. Let me do something. I want to do something. But they was like, no. And don't tell nobody you saw this until the Son of Man rises again. Then you can go out and tell the world. And guess what? That's our problem today. We don't want to tell nobody about our transformation. And it's not about going by and saying, girl, that's what I just got transformed. No. It's my walk. It's my walk. I don't curse. I said it before. I don't curse like I used to. Hey, did I say that? That meant I still curse, huh? Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit will call it out. But I'm human.
Amen.
I'm human. Sometimes I can't say hallelujah. Sometimes I say, what the? Oh my goodness. I can't believe he did that to me. Human. I'm not going to say that again. But it's the transformation that I have. Now, I do know, because my vocabulary is different. Those around me who have not changed their vocabulary we have different conversations. Matter of fact, they about this long. They probably used to be this long. Now they about this long. Be like, okay, all right, see you later, because they're not there yet, but it's still not for me to judge. It is not for me to judge. All I can do is keep praying for them. And that's what I want you to do for me. Keep praying for me. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all have come short. What makes us any different? None. None. So the transformation in Romans 12, 2. Let's go to Romans 12, 2. Romans. I love the book of Romans now that I really, really understand it. Thank you, Pastor Gardner. See? Can't take them nowhere. Still won't be. That's what I'm saying. See, I'm not there yet. I'm working on him too. I'm working on him too. He not there yet either. Don't y'all get it twisted. I'm preaching about who in my household. Thank you, Miss Tambourine. I like that. So Romans 12, 2 says, and be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and will of who? Amen. That is the renewing. That is your transformation. We no longer mind the same principles that we minded before when we was living in our gift. Now we're living in the gift of Christ. Amen? And the gift of Christ is your grace and your integrity and your faith and your transformation. Amen? Amen. Now, we're going to go to one more place. No, two more. Because this deals with our gift to his gift. So, Ephesians, you don't have to go there. I'll go. Send me, Lord, I'll go. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Write that down, though. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. You didn't do this. Christ did this for you. You didn't do this. You didn't wake up to one day like smoking cigarettes and go cold turkey and say, oh, I don't want to sin anymore. So you don't. That's not how this works. That's not how a life of salvation works. It is the gift of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Nobody can take credit for being saved. You can't take credit for that. Your significant other, husband, wife, if somebody brought you to church and you joined the church and you turned your life over to Christ, they can't take credit for that. Because it was not them that transformed you. It was Christ. That was your personal relationship. That was your personal decision. You brought her. But it was her decision to what she wanted to do for Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We can't take credit for that. Our loved ones, anybody that was out there in the world because we prayed for him, prayed for him, prayed for him, you can't take credit for him. That was his decision. You prayed for him, but that's what he decided to do. He wanted to give his life to Christ. That's a personal thing. We cannot take credit for anybody that does anything for Christ. It's personal. Nobody can do that. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what Ephesians is saying. It's not by us. It's not by our doing alone. It is through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Now let's go to Titus chapter 3. So now that we have transformed from our gift to Christ's gift, And we are displaying grace and integrity and faith and transformation. Now we have to do this continuously. This is not something that we do today and we put it down tonight and we may pick it back up next week. Mm-mm. Just like he says, you pick up your cross, you take it with you daily. The same thing. You take your gift that Christ gave you, you take that with you daily. Every single day, every single moment, every waking hour, every subconscious sleeping hour, that is a gift. And you are to keep it with you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So in Titus 3, I said 4 and 5, but I need to start at 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers, lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the loving kindness, I'm sorry, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward men appeared. Because God loved us so much, he sent Jesus. That's who appeared. Amen?
Amen.
And it's not by works of righteousness, not by what we doing, not by your works. You're not saved by works alone.
Amen.
Which we saved us, I'm sorry, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So, it wasn't that you was a good person. You didn't cuss nobody out. You sent Christmas cards to everybody. You went and fed the homeless. You went and you went to the nursing home and you went. Those are your works. You're not saved by that by yourself.
Right.
Don't think that, well, I was doing a good job. That's what, see, a lot of people think that. Who are not in the body of believers, a lot of people feel as though, well, if I just go ahead and just do good to people, I'll get in. But it doesn't work like that. You have to be born again. You have to be saved. You have to recognize the ABC of salvation. You have to recognize that. You have to recognize that I have to confess my sins. You have to confess that I am a sinner. You have to believe. No, this is not if you feel like it. This is what you have to do. You have to confess that you are a sinner. You have to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and rose and has all power and is sitting on the right-hand throne of God making intercessories for you. And you have to accept him into your life. That's your ABC.
Amen.
Of your salvation. This is something you have to do. Now, after you have to do that, then everything else falls into place. You will want to do your works. You will want to feed the homeless. You will want to pray for those. You will want to diligently show what a life of Christ is like. And it's not a dull life. We have fun every Sunday, don't we?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we ain't having no fun, something wrong. Something wrong. If I can go and have a good time at the club, at the ballpark, at the concert, I know I can have a good time up in here because he made me. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to live this life, and I'm supposed to live this life abundantly with the riches of the world and the riches of the world, not of the world, but the riches in my world, which is Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Because I seek him first. And all of his righteousness.
Yes, yes.
And he added all things unto me.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. So when you are thinking about if this is a trial or a destiny, also know that you had a gift.
Right.
And now through Christ, is gift, through Christ's gift, guess what? Now we can operate in our gifts that he gave us. He gave us the gift of encouragement. He gave us the gift of prophecy. He gave us the gift of prayer. He gave us the gift of speaking in tongues. He gave us the gift of voice. He gave us the gift of the word. He gave us so many gifts to operate in. That is the unity of all of us working together. Yeah. But if you don't realize the gift you had and the gift that Christ has given to you, you will not move and operate in the gifts that what you think you should be operating in. Amen? Yeah. Amen. We have to continue to move in our gifts. We have to continue to recognize that it was our gift to mankind that put us in the situations that some of the situations that we were in today, yesterday, but it is the gift of Christ. Yeah. The gift of Christ. Amen. That allows us to move and to be excited. Yeah. Y'all want to know why I'm so excited every time I get up here? Every day I'm so excited because I know for a fact I should not be here. I know this for a fact. There was a gun to my head. I know I'm not supposed to be here. I'm out selling drugs. I know I'm not supposed to be here. I know this. But I'm so excited because he gave me another chance. And I want you guys to take that with you. You have another chance to operate in your gift. You have another chance to move in the gift of God. You have another chance. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. God is so great. He loves you so much. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. Do not let anybody tell you anything differently. Amen? Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah! When I think about what Christ has done for me in my life, you know, I think about that song that Reverend Walter Hawkins used to sing. And it says, "What is this?" Y'all remember that song? What is this? Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Yeah. And I think about that song. You guys go on YouTube and just play it for yourself. Because you know what he has done for you. It ain't gonna let you hold your peace. You cannot hold your peace. When you think about what God has done for you, you cannot. Don't hold it. Don't hold it in. If everybody looks at you and see you frowning, they think you got a problem. Why people can't look at you every time and see you smiling and know that you're happy about something? And guess what? If they always see you smiling, they don't want to know why you're so happy. What makes you so happy? Because I got the gift of life, and it's running all through me, and I'm running for the song. When I look back over my life,